afternoon. Please be seated. Judge Silver, is there anybody else that will be talking on your ADKT besides you? Do we have anybody in Carson City?
For any purpose?
I don't see anybody. Okay, as long as it's just you, let's have you go first on your ADKT. And we'll have turn it over to Judge Gibbons, Justice Gibbons, excuse me, as opposed to Judge Gibbons.
Justice Gibbons.
No?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. I mean, this relates to ADKT 504 regarding the citation of orders from the Court of Appeals. You know, as the Court will recall, the Supreme Court had a lengthy discussion whether Supreme Court orders should be citable, and going back to 2014, the Court approved citation to Supreme Court orders. When the Court of Appeals came into existence in January of 15, the MRAPs were amended to incorporate the Court of Appeals in the same references as the Supreme Court. So the Court of Appeals orders automatically became citable at that time as well. Since that time, I mean, there's so much debate I know we've had in the Supreme Court about the efficacy of doing short orders in error correction cases just to try and resolve cases quicker for the litigants versus longer orders, which may provide more guidance to the attorney. So there's good arguments on both sides of that position. At this time, as I recall, when the campaign was for the Court of Appeals led by Justice Hardesty was promoted, that, I mean, the key issue argued or set forth among many of them, but one of the key ones is trying to speed up the disposition of appeals. And in convincing the voters to approve the constitutional amendment to create the Court of Appeals, I know I made that argument in numerous presentations to groups as well, that this would help speed up cases and not create an additional layer of court structure, and that the types of cases that would be predominantly assigned to the Court of Appeals by the Chief Justices would be error correction cases that just simply need to review of the district court order. And once in a while, there would be discrete issues for the Court of Appeals to rule on by way of opinions, because the Court of Appeals can do opinions. And frankly, from speaking for myself, we would encourage more opinions from the Court of Appeals on discrete issues to add to our case law. But on the error correction cases, although I have not reviewed these orders, since I'm not subject to, I cannot rule upon a petition for review, I have read a few of them to prepare for this proceeding here today. I noticed there's been a number of pretty lengthy orders entered by the Court of Appeals, both majorities, dissents, concurrences, on the error correction issues. And frankly, again, speaking for myself, I would think that time is much better spent getting them short and to the point and getting the decisions out. I don't know if Judge Silver could address maybe how long it takes to get some of these longer orders out, staff time, law clerk time, judge time involved in it, but it's an issue that, you know, it concerns me on behalf of the public to get quick, speedier and quicker justice on this. So, Chief, with that in mind, I know you set this for a public hearing so we could receive input from attorneys or written or verbal input, and from all the judges of the Court of Appeals that they wanted to speak and address this particular point. Chief Judge Silver?
Thank you, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to address you regarding this. I'm happy to report to all of you as the justices that last month, March of 2017, the Supreme Court transferred 84 cases to the Court of Appeals. In the same month, the Court of Appeals filed 84 dispositions. The Court of Appeals did not issue any opinions in the month of March, but we definitely want to issue opinions. I can assure you that all three of us look forward to writing these opinions involving very important matters such as family court issues, administrative agency issues and other areas of the law which the lawyers may need guidance in. In fact, I can absolutely promise you, yesterday I found in a very interesting civil case an issue in a myriad of post-trial motions, an issue regarding a statute in which there is no case law on, and it is before us. So these cases do exist, and the three judges are absolutely thrilled to write an opinion to see our name on it, and to add to Nevada's jurisprudence. But that said, I can tell you that as an error correction court, and having considered why we were created, our primary goal has been this year to try to focus on shorter orders in an effort to resolve the appeals accurately and in a timely and efficient manner, while at the same time digging into the backlog of the cases on appeal. And as you know, if we do write the opinions, which we plan on doing this year, they will be citable. As you are also aware, most of our cases in the Court of Appeal are resolved as error correction, and there's clear law on the books by your court. So with our short orders not being citable, I believe personally that with the backlog, the parties will be very happy to get accurate and speedy dispositions. Contrast, however, the orders when they're citable as they are right now. In our court, when there's not a unanimous outcome, the issue creates a great discord, and suddenly the staff, law clerks, and judges go into actual opinion mode almost on it. Because there's a feeling among the judges that we're creating law because it's citable for the entire state of Nevada. And we recognize that in most cases, we're going to be the court of last resort. And again, I can't stress enough that this rule can be changed in a year or two. And most importantly, I can assure you that the Court of Appeals will continue to write short opinions where the judges, in cases where the judges feel that there needs to be an opinion because it's important. In the vast majority of our cases, it's just error correction. So it has really lengthened the process. For example, most of the cases come in and out within 45 days when it's error correction. That's the vast majority. When there has been a discord on a split vote, it goes about 6 months for and they're not short orders. They're, as you see, they're basically opinions. And that's been the holdup. So we still can do opinions. We want to do opinions. But it appears that just the citability factor, they might as well be opinions, what we're writing on those orders, because they're citable. But I just would ask you to take that into consideration, and thanks for your time. I hope that makes sense.
The comments from the colleagues to the Chief Judge?
I'll just say personally, I am very disappointed with this ADKT and this position. I feel that it is essential that an appellate body which communicates only in writing what its disposition is, not be above having its disposition in an earlier or another case tendered to it and say, hey, in that case, you treated this litigant this way on these facts that are similar to mine. I believe I should be treated the same way. That's the foundation of our court system. And for me, it's a matter of deeply held conviction that we are publicly accountable in every case for the results that we reach. And the only way we have, ethically and as a normative matter, is to articulate that in writing. And if there are divisions in the Court of Appeals, I find those very helpful. The cases that have come up with split votes on petitions for review, they may have thrown a bit of delay into the process of that case, but they're very helpful to us in terms of vetting and taking sides and engaging in a debate that, to me, has revitalized the law in some areas and opened my eyes to new issues, and I think the lawyers as well. So reasonable minds can differ to this, and I appreciate your bringing this forward, but I did want to explain that there are other points of view on this, and I think when the Court of Appeals is moved to a point of division 2-1, that even if it's not taken up for review, that signifies that there is something more than error correction going on. There are different points of view, and that's healthy. That debate is healthy to our system. So for me, it's a matter of conviction that I think It's better to have them citable. If they're not worth the paper they're written on and they are so brief that you can't deduce anything other than the quoted statute by which they're resolved, so be it. But if there's anything of substance, I don't understand what the problem is. They're not creating mandatory precedent. They are merely citable for whatever value, if any, they have to persuade the body to whom they're tendered. And I would really not like to see our Court of Appeals in the position where it alone, its orders alone among all the orders entered by any court in the state, are not citable for any reason, because district court orders are citable, federal district court orders are citable, unpublished Ninth Circuit orders are citable, our orders are citable, and I just think that would be a tragedy. So I will be opposing this.
And I'm very saddened that I feel I have to come forward into this. I mean, I didn't sign up for the Court of Appeals to just issue orders. I mean, I certainly, you know, part of me wanting to be a judge on the Court of Appeals was obviously to take part in shaping Nevada jurisprudence. I mean, that's why we do it.
That's right.
And I completely understand. I will say this, split votes are not going away by this rule, nor will petitions for judicial review, where you'll be able to still enjoy our division of ideas. You will still have that readily. That will all still come your way. It's holding up just on getting out the amount of orders that we're trying to get out as far as the backlog. It's my understanding that, having gone to the NYU appellate school that I know many of you have gone to, many of the Court of Appeals throughout this nation, I mean, they do short orders all the time. And again, if they want to file an opinion, they do, which then becomes citable. And so this is something that I really hope that if it does pass, that in a year or two, when we have dug into the backlog, there would be a reconsideration and we would be citable. That would be my goal. But it's very hard to balance trying to get out the numbers that we need to get out to have a real effect as to why we were created and also be citable at the same time. It's very hard to do both, because we might as well just make them opinions. This is what happens with them being citable. That's kind of the mode with the staff and with the judges, because they're citable. So,
Judge Silver, do you believe this in any way is going to chill the Court of Appeals in finding and identifying cases that are opinion-worthy?
Oh, not at all. And I said yesterday, I literally found, okay, I pulled up the statute and there it was, and I looked back in the brief and both sides said, you know, there's no case law on this. Now, that's something that in conference we'll discuss, whether or not we need to on that particular issue. But we see them all the time. I just saw two in administrative agency cases. And it's just something we vote on then and say whether or not we want it to be citable. So it's not our goal not to, you know, file opinions at all. We would like to do that. I think it's just relieving some of the tension that goes into it being citable on an order. Because our orders that do come out, that there is a dissension, they are extremely long, both on the majority side and the dissent. They might as well have been, quite frankly, opinions.
Anyone else?
Thank you very much.